Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. He cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing, who might wish to go from our side to yours or your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. My whole journey as a Catholic has been into knowing God's love more and more profoundly. It's the sort of the heartbeat of my life as a Catholic. I'm astounded by it sometimes, and this morning especially it occurred to me it was a good time to say to you, thank you for welcoming me, and I think this is one of the most blessed seasons of my life, to be with you all. Yesterday I was working on two homilies while my mouth was open. That's a difficult thing to do, but you know, I'm getting ready for Sunday. We're going to talk about the act of contrition on Sunday. And maybe superpowers, but I'm not sure. But I was thinking, you know, this is a way to get you into what I was thinking. You ever think of the resurrection from the dead as God acting in our lives when we are the weakest? Our baptisms. Squirmy little babies, right? Okay. Even if, you know, God forbid, coming to confession in mortal sin. Only God can forgive mortal sin, right? Okay, only God forgives sins. And even the passive purgation of the soul. So this is what was hitting me yesterday about Jesus being seductive, is that he loves us in some ways most powerfully at our moments of greatest weakness and even the worst we could be. You know, he dies for our sins. And so that was traveling through my head, and then I'm going, oh my, what do I do with that? Anyhow, today's about resurrection to some extent, right? If somebody would come back from the dead, and you might think this was addressed to the Sadducees, but before I get into today's parable, I just want to talk a second about Jesus' foretelling of his paschal mystery. There are three times that he does that in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. And whenever he does it, it's not just his suffering and his death, it's also his resurrection. And one of the curious things is that the first two times he does it, right in the middle of them is the Transfiguration. Okay? This is the big mystery, right? The big secret of all time, okay, of God being revealed to us in this way. And the last time he does it, which was yesterday's, is just before they enter Jerusalem. So he's, and of course, all this goes through their heads like, you know, you sure you said that in class? Kind of a thing going, happening, and so forth. Well, today, Vatican II, by the way, keeps on connecting both of those things. Paschal mystery is not just Jesus dying, it's his rising too, okay? But anyhow, today you might think this is Jesus talking to the Sadducees, because this is a big thing about something about the resurrection of the dead, but it's really about conversion. But the Sadducees, you know, might be at point now, so he might be aligning himself with the Pharisees a little bit, saying, hey, we all know the resurrection of the dead exists, don't you? You know, because the Pharisees use the prophets, and more notably the wisdom literature, like Wisdom and Daniel and Maccabees, which have mention of the resurrection of the dead and even praying for the dead. Well, the poor man Lazarus is in heaven after the dogs have been licking his wounds for a while. And as a professor that I used to work with said, this is where we get that old spiritual, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, oh, rock of my soul. It's a prayer to be in heaven. It's a prayer to be beyond, you know, the injustices and failings and all the things that draw us to sadness here. It's a deep, deep prayer. The rich man, of course, has five brothers, and his love for them doesn't seem to cease in hell. He really wants somebody to come in and warn them, you know, if I can't get water, at least warn my brothers. You know, and Abraham's answer is kind of a gift. It's Jesus teaching us through Abraham here, okay? There's a great chasm. And this is mercy telling us something important about the structure of the universe. I'm going to speak about the opposite of the structure of the universe for a second. Origen, who a lot of people see as one of the best, biggest scripture scholars in the church, and some hold him as a father, at times would advance a theory called, and I can only pronounce this right thanks to Father Hoffer, apokatastasis, okay, the restoration of all things. Every once in a while he thought God's love was so great that at the end of time he'd empty out hell and everybody got to be in heaven. You know, and here's Jesus today saying, no, there's a great chasm. This is true. These are final destinies. There's no bridge over the river Kwai when it's all over, okay? So please recognize that, everybody. And so we might ask ourselves then, if we had listened, how do these Jews get into heaven? It's not a bad question to ask. Okay, this is not being anti-Semitic, but it's just asking this. Is Jesus saying heaven's going on right now? Okay? Well, you know, I was just thinking, just if he's talking to Sadducees, how you would answer this. You have Moses. Doesn't Moses say to you, when he tells that, when he writes down the story of his vocation, God introduced himself as I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of the living. God is a God of life. And so resurrection seems to be an appropriate thing. Before him, all things are alive. And then if we take this in deeper, even in the Torah, there's a call from Moses to say, after me, there'll come somebody. You got to obey. That's usually taken as a prophecy of the Messiah. But inside the canon of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, there's this constant beat of remember the poor in your midst, remember the stranger in your midst, remember the weak in your midst. And if you don't do that, you're really not my people. And the prophets pick up that real loud, don't they? You know, there's two reasons, you know, for a big downfall in the history of anybody inside of salvation history. false worship, and neglect and abuse of the poor. And you go to the prophets, you're going to hear that over and over again. Your hearts are not with me, and you're abusing and neglecting the poor, and or in all those combinations over the centuries. We know that one of the best images of that was in the story of Ruth. The people who were collecting the harvest were instructed to leave things behind so the poor could harvest for themselves what was left behind by the harvesters. So live as God's people, we hear. Then there's another thing that gets stirred about the resurrection inside of all of the people of Israel. And I only heard about this from scholars when I was studying the resurrection, and that was this. If you and I, and this is how they put it for Jewish people, if you and I are taking God's words in and living with them, this is, you know, you would call this in the Torah, keeping God's word. I just don't obey it, but I listen to it. I chew on it. I want to understand what he's saying. If you and I are in a living dialogue with God about what he wants us to do and responding to it and looking into the depths of those things, there's a living relationship with us that will not be broken by death. And so the people who think this way, see, this is how the resurrection from the dead began to be implanted in people's minds in a real and lasting way. But nevertheless, Moses and Lazarus are up there right now, and it sounds like Lazarus didn't do no harm to anybody, that he was living with God's word churning inside of him at least. And what we have is, how did they get there? And we have a different kind of story to add to this one, don't we? It's Jesus' descent to the dead, the hell of the righteous, the waiting place of the people that were right with God. And the story looks like this, because I love to tell stories. He goes down and preaches to them, and with his own resurrection, as they listen to him and accept what he says, he pulls them out of the depths of their waiting and brings them to the beatific vision. I'm back to the beginning of all this. God loves us most powerfully in our moments of weakness. Lent is a time when we run into that. It's a time when he says to us, bring your weakness to me. Bring your weakness to me. Now, you may be doing something wonderful like, oh, man, like fasting from desserts, okay? You know, and the dessert fathers say that's next to the fullest kind of martyrdom you could possibly endure. But in the middle of that, our yearning for things here should be a reminder of our weakness, and our yearning for things for heaven need to be helped as he touches our weakness. Amen.